figuring this all out, this Lent thing. And as I told you 100 times, I'm going to tell you again that where does it start? Where does this journey? Jesus, we see him, he's become really big. He can't move anymore, right? Because wherever he goes, 5,000 people run to gather around him, and he has to feed them all. That's expensive, isn't it? And then 4,000 show up. He's got to feed them, and he can't even leave the country. He goes to where the land of the Gentiles, and there he heals a man possessed by 1,000 demons. And you know what they say after he gets rid of the demons? Would you mind leaving? They asked him to nicely leave. They said nicely, would you mind leaving? And Jesus said, I'll leave. I just healed this crazy man, right? Well, he killed a few pigs, right? Because he put in the pigs, they jump off into the ocean. And would you mind leaving? I'll leave. He goes back to Galilee, and then he heads up north. We see him there. He's in a place called Tyre, in Phoenicia, in a place called Tyre. And there's a woman. She recognizes him for who he is, and she's trying to get to him. She's like, save my daughter. And Jesus says, no. Save my daughter. No. Don't the dogs get the crumbs? And Jesus says, your faith has saved you alone. She will live. Your faith. And he was joyed to see that even the Gentiles believed in him. But he's also under a little bit of pressure because he knows people want to kill him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin wants him dead. And so we see he's at a crossroads, isn't he? People want two things from him. They want him dead, to be out of their lives, or they want something from him. And no one's asking for repentance, right? Not the man on the mat. He didn't ask for repentance. Jesus says, that's what you need first. You think you need a healing? You don't need a healing. You need repentance. You don't need your body fixed. You need your soul to be healed. You need repentance. So he has to go away, and I told you the story. We went up to that place called Caesarea Philippi. Is it in your head yet? Have I annoyed you with it? Because you better know what it is, and it will be back next year, okay? Do you understand it? That's what he had to get away. I need to take you 12 men with me. We need to get away from it all. We're going to go to up north near the ski resort, right? And there we'll see the gates of hell. There it is. That's where it all starts, and we saw that it's there today. And there's churches there, and pick your religion. Which one do you like? You like Buddhism? What do you like? You like worshiping Greek gods, Roman gods? Pick your god. Who do you want to worship? Are you going to worship me, a simple carpenter? Who am I? We don't know. Peter knew. You're the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the Messiah. It's true, Peter, I am. Don't tell anyone. What he says, don't tell anyone. You see, I'm going to go back a little bit to chapter 9 of Luke. Whenever I panic, I go to Luke, right? So you know I'm panicking. Remember that? Love that Luke. We weren't supposed to do Luke until like 2026, but I'm going to do it today. I could have gone to Matthew 10 or Mark 6, but Luke provides comfort. You know why? He fills in the details. You see, at this time in Luke chapter 9, this is before he goes up to Caesarea Philippi, before he goes up to the mountain, it kind of sets the stage. He sends out 12. That's all he's got, right? He's only got 12 disciples. So when Jesus called the 12 together, that 12's a pretty neat number. Why 12 did he choose? It's because it's like the nations of Jacob, right? There's 12 nations, and so 12 tribes come together, 12 disciples. It's perfect. And he gives them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. There's a difference between a demon and a disease, right? And we know this. We've all got a few demons, don't we? And he sent him out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he tells him, travel light, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Travel light. Anyone travel light? When I go to Rehoboth, which is only 100 miles away, I bring my trailer, my 8-foot trailer, and I stuff everything in it. I bring my own pots and knives. I don't travel light. I don't know who can. You should see us going to ice, and we brought everything. That bag was 55 pounds. We were at 54.9, you know. We had to put the pair of socks back. We took everything. Then the goodies to come home, right? You had to wear half the souvenirs, right? I wore 3 sweaters home. And when you enter a house, he says, you stay there until you leave that town. Don't look for the best spot, right? Don't be one of those. And take what's put in front of you. Eat what they give you. Don't be picky. We're my picky eaters. there's one, you know. My nephew's coming in a couple weeks. You a picky one? Ah, oh, there he is. What don't you like?
What don't you like?
I hate turnips. Say turnips. Huh? You know, I hate turnips. You know why they're in the ground? That's where they belong. God put them in the ground, and you stay there. If it's on a tree, you eat it. If it's meant to come, it's in the dirt, it stays there, along with the rutabagas. But we'll dig up potatoes. Don't want it. Don't be picky. And if people do not welcome you, you know what Jesus says? This is reassuring. He says, what's he say? He says, just leave that town when you're rejected. Who likes rejection? Who gets rejected more than me, right? In high school. Well, I found no one. You all remember. Dateless. I got through high school unscathed. Then day one. I kissed one girl. It was awesome. That was it. Had to wait till I found my wife. You gotta, like Beyonce says, you gotta put a ring on it sometimes, you know? Oh, how's that dance go? I can't do Beyonce dance. No dancing in church. You can dance if you want. But you leave that town and you shake the dust off your feet. It's not worthy to go with you. You see, when we reject the Lord, this is important. So they went out from village to village, proclaiming the good news, and they were healing people everywhere. One time they were going through Samaria. That's a story for another day. It's people who were not accepted by the Jews. They were half-bred, and they interbred with the Assyrians when they attacked in the 700s. As the time approached for them, for him to be taken up to heaven. This is after he comes off the mountain of transfiguration, which we spoke about last week, which is still a mystery to me. We know that it showed him in his glory, and there he is talking with Elijah and talking with Moses, and these disciples must have been just, couldn't even talk when they got done. What did we say? What did we see? See, Jesus knows it's time for him to die. He's gotten very popular. He can't go anywhere. People want to kill him or they want something from him. But they don't know what he's really truly about. And so he sends messengers on ahead, and they went to a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, to prepare things ahead. Jesus always sent someone ahead to prepare the way for him, like John the Baptist did. But the people there did not welcome him because he was headed to Jerusalem, a place where they cannot go. The disciples saw this, and I love this. James and John saw this, and they asked Jesus, they said, hey, Lord, do you want us to burn this place down? What do you think of that? Let's burn this town down. They said no to us. They're excited to do it. If you let us do it, we'll do it. Jesus says no, and he rebukes them. Not what he came to do. They went on to another village. Just shake the dust off. Get used to rejection, right, when we preach the word of Jesus, right? Going to get rejected in your own home. How many times I invited family members to come? Still not here. It's okay. I sort of stopped asking. I asked a guy on Friday to come. He's not here. It's all right. I'll see him again. I know he's not doing anything. He's got no reason, Karen. Where is he? We turn to Luke 10. You see, Jesus, when he only had 12, he sent out the 12. But look what he does here. What happens in Luke chapter 10? This is my first sermon. I gave this 4.5 years ago. Remember, honey?
I do.
Yes. It was very good. No, thank you. Were you there that day? Were you there my first week? Because Marty Grant came, my first one. That was scary. You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to do this. Marty was there. And this is the sermon. But now he sends out 72. He's growing, isn't he? He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to die. Now there's a huge crowd. He's not sneaking around. Whenever they show a movie of Jesus, it's always a little group, isn't it? Because it's expensive to have 72 people walking, following somebody, actors, extras, you know. They show a little, just, you know, we see movies about Abraham. And Abraham, his old guy, and his old woman, Sarah, and they're walking around a pile of rocks. You know, he had 318 men who worked for him? And they had wives and children. Wherever he went, it was a city moving from place to place. Abraham did not sneak around. He was followed by a multitude. And this is Jesus. He's got 72 to send out. Plus all the women who were following, because they paid the bills back then, didn't they? They're not giving enough credit. Mary Magdalene followed along, supporting this ministry. So after this, here at Luke 10, chapter 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them two by two ahead to every town and place he was about to go. So as he leaves Caesarea Philippi, he's heading south to Jerusalem. He's on his way, and he's traveling with a big old crowd, isn't he? They're not going to sneak into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, are they? They're not going to come in the back door at night. They're coming in the front door on Palm Sunday, aren't they? And they're going to turn over some tables when they get there. He's not sneaking around. You want him, here he is. You look at the crowd. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The harvest is plenty, isn't it? You know how many churches we pass on the way here? We were counting them today. There's one in Cherry Hill in the school now on Sundays. And the big one over here. And then the other one where Jay Mendenhall goes next to Dollar General. Dollar General's more Dollar General's than churches, right? They're everywhere. Boy, do they have a lot of snacks. They've got a snack shop. And they put some bananas out there to kind of make you think like they're healthy. Who wants a banana? There's Doritos right there. But the harvest is plentiful, and there's not enough churches, is there? We need more churches because there's so much harvest to be gathered up. But he says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. See, this is my first sermon, and I thought, boy, wait till people get a load of me. I'm just going to be fantastic, aren't I? Oh, boy, Sean Herm's on the scene. No. The wolves are in the pews, too. Not you guys. But the wolves are there. Don't take a purse or a bag, he says again. Travel light. Don't bring the travel trailer like I do. You don't need it. Leave it at home. Travel light. And you'll rely on people. Like Blanche DuBois, you will rely on the kindness of strangers. Has anyone watched the original of that cat? What's his name, that famous actor? He was in Godfather. Help me out there. Yeah, Marlon Brando's in that one, and Blanche DuBois is in it. Who said Marlon Brando? Good job. Did you ever see the original?
It's got about Scarlett O'Hara. Who played Scarlett O'Hara?
Stella.
Vivian Leigh.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. Out of context. Darn it. Travel light.
Kindness
of strangers. That's where it came from. There's the kindness of strangers, rely on them. And when you get to a house, once again, like when he sent out the 12, say peace to this house, offer a blessing. And if you're not accepted, get up and leave. But if you are accepted, stay there. And if you stay more than 3 days, it's like a fish, right? After 3 days, fish starts to stink. You only get 3 days. How can you tell if someone's a false prophet? They stay more than 3 days. And make sure you get paid. Well, that's not what this sermon's about. Pay the pastor. No, it's not about that. Stay there, eat and drink, because the worker deserves his wages. We remember the sons of Eli there in 1 Samuel, right? When they would bring the offerings to the temple there at Shiloh. And what would the sons do? They wouldn't take the food that was already cooked like they were supposed to. God said, this is how you prepare a sacrifice. You boil it. This is how you do it. And they said, we don't like boiled meat. Anybody like boiled meat? We don't like it. They want it roasted. So they took the best. And they were sleeping with the women. And they brought great shame upon their family. And God cursed them. And they died in battle. And Eli died upon hearing the news. Listen to what God's message, how he tells you. The worker deserves his wages. We've got to pay our missionaries. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you, he says. Heal the sick there and tell them, the kingdom of God is coming. But when you enter a town and you're not welcome, go into the streets and proclaim, even the dust of your town will be wiped from our feet as a warning to you. We saw the 12 did this. Now he's got 72. And 72 is another beautiful number, isn't it? It's how many workers built the Ark of the Covenant, right? It's how many nations there are in the world. It's how many members of the Sanhedrin there are, right? Jesus has gone against them. So he needs his 70 to go up against that 70, doesn't he? I will tell you, those places that reject Jesus, it'll be better for Sodom on that day. Remember the old story about Sodom and Gomorrah? How many good people were in that city? Abraham says, let's save it if there's 50. God says, sure. If you can find 50 good people, I won't burn it down. Well, how about 40? Abraham's negotiating, right? 40 good ones. Sure, you find 40. How about 30 good men in that city and I won't destroy it? Sure, 30 sounds good. How about 20? If you find 20. How about 10? Could they find 10? They couldn't find 10. So the place was burned down. Fire came from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But he says it's going to be better for them than it is for you, because they didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't get to see him face to face. And if you reject Jesus, it's going to be worse for you. It's going to be like you, Chorazin, this city that will be destroyed. And Bethsaida, where Peter was born and lived. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in places like Tyre and Sidon, where he just left that Phoenician woman, they would have repented. And they would be sitting in sackcloth and covering themselves with ashes. You see what he's saying here? He was in Capernaum. He healed the man on the mat. He's outside of town, feeding 5,000, feeding 4,000. Guess what? They're not getting it, are they? They like the miracles, don't they? That's great. What happens when Jesus meets 10 lepers and he heals them all? How many come back to thank him? What's the number? One. Can you imagine? You can't live, you can't work, you can't be with your family because you're contagious, and you're going to die in 9 years, and you know it, if you don't get healed. And they're all healed. Do they come back to thank Jesus? No, just one. This is what these cities are going to be like. Judgment's coming. My friend out in, I forget what state she's in, which Seattle's in Washington, right? I always forget it. She used to be a captain, and she was on those boats that went around Somalia and through the Red Sea Canal. And she's an amazing woman. She's about 6'5" and blonde hair. She's something, isn't she? Makes a man look like a midget, you know, standing next to her. But she's wonderful, and she's such a believer. And she heard me preach a couple times because her father lived in Charlestown. And she'd come and hear me preach. She said, you preach judgment a lot, don't you? Because it's a real thing. This is where it's real. See, we like the Jesus who gives us something. We love to celebrate his birth, and Easter's fun because we get to eat a ham, right? But do we understand it? And Jesus says it's about judgment. If you don't follow me, if you don't listen to my word, this is it's going to be like Sodom here and Gomorrah. He says so. It's written right here. And these cities, Bethsaida and Capernaum, they know him. Will they be lifted to the heavens, Jesus says? No. You'll be taken down to Hades. And whoever listens to my messengers, this is the hard part, because I'm a messenger, and you're a messenger, but I'm the messenger today up here. I better get it right. This is a scary thing. If I get this wrong, you'll run me out of town, I hope, right? If I preach something wrong, you haven't done it yet, so I must be on track a little bit. Because whoever listens to you, to me, listens to him. But whoever rejects me, rejects him. And whoever rejects me, Jesus says, rejects the one who sent me. So the 72, they return, they come back with joy because it's working. People are listening. They're listening to him. These cities don't need to be burned down. And they said, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus says this. It's another warning. They're happy. It's working. People are listening to us. We're healing. I saw Satan fall like lightning, he said. We always see Satan in heaven, don't we? He's there. He's there in the book of Job. He's hanging out with God. We see him in the book of Zechariah. He's in the courtroom of heaven. Satan is in heaven. One day, God's going to get tired of him, we know, in Revelation, and be done with him, right? For leading us all astray. He's going to throw him into the pit of fire. But not today. He's there. He's in heaven. He saw him get kicked out because of his pride. You don't get too prideful. All these gifts, they came from God. They're not from you. I've given you authority to trample on snakes. That's a good thing. Who likes snakes? I hate snakes. Scorpions, and to overcome the power of the enemy. I'm going to finish up here, my goodness. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written down in heaven like Bruce is written down in heaven. That's the important thing. Not the healing, not the miracles, but that his name is written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, giving thanks to his Father for the 72 that came back. Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise, those smart people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees are so smart, but you revealed them to the little children, those who were with innocent minds. You were pleased to do this. Many kings, prophets, wanted to see this. King David never got to see this. Abraham was, he knew that his seed would save the world. He never got to see the promise. Isaiah never got to see it. Ezekiel and all the, no one got to see it but us. We've seen it. And if we ignore it, if we don't share it with others, what is our fate? We got to share it, don't we? And isn't it joyful to do it? Are you scared to do it? I'm not. I'll talk to anybody anytime. Even on a union work site with 70 men. And the porta johns are full of those little tiny bottles of Fireball. Right, Chuck? Because they're hurting, and they want to hear the good news. If you can talk it there, you can talk it anywhere. People need to hear the word of God. We need to be, we are the messengers. Don't be afraid. See the judgment if we are afraid, if we don't share it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment, this time to come and be with one another. We pray that we won't face judgment like those cities, those wicked people. There's more to you than just asking for healing or miracles or the gift of eternal life is what we cherish. To see you face to face, to see the Father face to face, to know that our race is over, our race has been won. And the Father will look at us and say, well done. My good and faithful servant. Well done, Bruce. Well done, Bev. Well done.